Great to join again this evening in Jesus' name. Enjoyed learning to know a few of you better today and spending your time here the way we did. Trust again that this evening our minds can be lifted to God and we can see more of His wisdom that we need so desperately. The subject this evening, I'd like to think about one of our five senses, we call it. I would title it, To See. Our sight is a blessing from God. It's something that we enjoy and take for granted so much. Probably about 2 years ago, we started working with a young man who was blind. And it's amazing that he can work on computers and do all kinds of things, get around. I hadn't been around someone who was blind like that for quite a while, and it's just amazing what he can do, how much he can get around, but on the other hand, how much we take for granted, and how much we just take for granted what we can do. God created light, and God created us. He created our eyes. It's a miracle of life, really. And we'd like to look at a number of different things in relation to that. We want to look at a couple different of the miracles and wonderful things about sight and light. Because God created it, He used it to help us understand various things. He uses examples from our sight and light and darkness and those kind of things in the Bible to help us understand truths that He wanted to share with us. And the other part of it is that it's very important that we guard our sight, that we use our sight properly, or it can get us into trouble probably quicker than most of our other senses if you look at it in that direction. From back at creation, God created light. Without sight, if we wouldn't have our sight, light wouldn't be necessary. What would light? Light wouldn't do much. Now, light conveys power and life to the world, in a sense. And yet, if we didn't have sight, light wouldn't do much good. It would do a lot less good. The world would be dark. Light would be largely unnecessary. Sight itself is a tremendous miracle, and we could probably spend all evening plus thinking about how that works. Men still don't understand very well what vision is, what sight is, what light is, if it's photons, particles of energy that are traveling, or if it's waves. Men try to figure those things out, and they don't have it figured out. Can't understand some of the very basics of it. We could look at the aspects of our eyes and how our brains function the input that comes in, and we could talk about the way apparently our eyes invert what comes in and our brain turns that back right side up again. Our brain processes what comes into our eyes and helps us to understand what's actually happening that we're seeing. There's a lot of miracles that we could talk about in relation to that. Our minds piece together what's happening. There's many times things happen so fast that you don't actually see everything that you think you see. And sometimes on rare occasions, it actually gets us in trouble because we think something happened so fast that we think we saw something that didn't actually happen. I guess I understand they have that kind of thing documented. But so it's a miracle the way our minds process that information that's coming in with our eyes, the way God made it. And it's something that man's still trying to understand and fully comprehend. There's a sense in which sight is distance understanding what's happening other places that you can't physically feel, can't physically reach. I can see the clock on the back wall, and through sight I can see what that the position that those hands are in and all those kind of things that I couldn't feel or take in any other way. It's out of reach. But with our sight, we can take in so much. We don't have to feel or touch everything. We can just look around us and we can get an idea of what's all around us. It's wonderful. It's probably more long range than any other sense. Hearing is also done at a distance, but it's not quite the same as sight. But that's probably the other sense of our five senses that travels a distance. But sight is such an important thing to us. We probably couldn't drive a car if we didn't have eyesight. I don't know of any way you could really... Most of the other senses you can overcome and to a large extent, but something like driving a car, there's no way that you could do it without eyesight that I know of. None of the other senses limit you to that extent. Now, think with me for a moment what it would be like to be blind, to not have sight. We wouldn't need a nightlight. Could find your way around the room at night as well at night as any other time. Darkness wouldn't be a handicap at all. You would a light at night wouldn't make any difference. Wouldn't help because it would always be like that. Sun wouldn't glare in your eyes. When I was originally studying for this sermon, the light was coming in and glaring in the window and made it hard to concentrate. I suppose a blind person wouldn't suffer from that. Probably wouldn't bother him. A young man wouldn't be tempted by a shiny car. Think about it. How much would a car, a particular style of car or whatever, those types of things, how much appeal would they actually have if you couldn't physically see it? It would change that quite a bit. You wouldn't be tempted to look at the wrong thing. Temporal things like appearance wouldn't be as significant, or at least a lot less significant. How you have your hair combed, somehow the young man keeps up his appearance, and there's ways to do that, and yet it would be a lot. It would take on a different significance to have every hair in place. If you were blind and you couldn't see it, it'd be a little bit different. You wouldn't be tempted with flashy advertisements. Would be partly removed from all the commotion of life and would be stripped a lot closer to just the essentials. Right away, when we see someone who has a handicap like that, it makes us think about the basics of life, the essentials of life, and go back to the deeper questions of life. Why are we here? What's our purpose? What's the meaning of life? And really, those are questions that we should all be facing and thinking about. Somehow, if you just take away the distraction of sight, you can think about some of those things more easily. Of course, we know that much of God's creation, He created sight, He created light, and He created many, many beautiful things for us to enjoy and for us to see. And we would hate tremendously to miss out on that. I think He's given us many of those things for us to enjoy. And it's a tremendous blessing. And yet, not everyone can enjoy those. I don't know. Maybe there's someone here tonight that can't see. And it's not something that we should take for granted. All right, I want to look at a number of different truths in relation to sight and vision that just help us to understand some lessons that we can learn that God has given us related to this subject. First one I would have down is the thought that to see is to know, or a picture is worth a thousand words, they say sometimes, tells us that we understand and comprehend something faster by sight than any other way. You could think of the Queen of Sheba. And she had heard about Solomon, and she came to see him, came to see what really was. And her testimony was, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Really, this is a simple truth, and it probably affects more some of the later things we'll talk about. But our sight is just such an influential avenue into our being. And it conveys things so quickly and so easily to us. Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Somehow after his communication and discourse with God, he understood God in a totally different way. And he described it as, now mine eye seeth thee. I understand like I didn't before. And it helps us to understand more the way it'll be in heaven. John 16:14-15, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And I think that's actually referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would help the believers to understand and to see the things of God. To understand as if they were seeing them, as if they were in front of them. So to seeing and sight is a tremendous and very powerful avenue that things can come into our life and can affect us. Second truth I have is where we look indicates our interest. And of course we can think of Lot's wife. His wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Some way, where we look indicates where our heart is and where our interest is. And you might think you understand your heart. You might think you know what your desires are. But you catch yourself looking at something, and it helps you to understand really what your heart is like. And it gives you some challenges to guard that. But where we look indicates our interest. Contrast Lot's wife with Acts 7:55. Let me just get that here. When Stephen, it was there being stoned, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on his right hand of God. Thinking about our sight and where we look, indicating where our heart is, if you were in front of an angry mob of people, and they were making all kinds of accusations against you and unfairly accusing you and very, very upset, and then you start picking up thrones and stones and throwing them at you, where would you be looking? Stephen turned his eyes toward heaven, and he looked up. It's probably not the natural place to be looking. But it shows where his heart was. It shows what he was counting on and what was important to him. And who he was looking to as his salvation. Helps us to understand our hearts. Third thing I have down is light and seeing is parallel to righteousness. Darkness and blindness is parallel to wickedness. The Bible uses the parallels of being able to see and light with righteousness. And it helps us to understand how wrong sin is by comparing it to darkness and blindness. And that's not, well, it's just something that the Bible uses to help us to understand that. Not that physical blindness is evil, but it helps us to understand how awful it is. Matthew 6:23. Let's look that up. Matthew 6:23. And just notice how clearly it compares. It helps us to understand what evil is by the comparison. Matthew 6:23, But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I should, verse 22, I should have started with verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye is single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, it's full of darkness. It just helps us to understand the difference between right and wrong. It's like light and darkness. It's like, you know, it's that much, it's that big a contrast. It's difference between night and day. It's just those parallels help us to understand how much different it is and how wrong evil is and how righteousness, how God looks at righteousness. Number of other illustrations from the Bible that it uses that the subject to help us to understand. Matthew 15:14, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It's saying that if a blind person is leading a blind person, they're not going to know where they're going. They're not going to get where they want to go. It just helps us to understand that. Now let's turn to 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. Now we're just going to start with verse 8 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I run unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. If you love your brother, it's as if you're in the light. It's as if it's daylight and everything's, you can see what's happening. You can see what's going on and where you're going. But if you hate someone, it blinds you, literally. I mean, in some ways literally, but this helps us to understand that there's ways that it blinds you. It makes it that you can't see and can't understand what's happening. Can't see where you're going. And it helps us to understand what it's like, how awful it is. Fourth illustration, or fourth truth from light, I'd like to point out, is that seeing equals being in the presence of. Many times, well, there's a number of passages we could look at. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That means sometime they're going to be in heaven. They're going to be where God is, and they're going to see him. Because they're going to be there with him. Just another way that sight is used. Let's turn to John 14:19. John 14:19. John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. The world, in a little while, Jesus was going to leave the world, and the world wasn't going to see him, because he wasn't there. And yet, as we lived and had God's Spirit with us, we would be in his presence, and we would still be able to see him. By God's Spirit, the Christian would still be able to see him and to understand. And it just helps us to understand that. It's an illustration that helps us to understand what it's meaning. And of course, in heaven, Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Someday, if we're faithful, we'll see His face. We'll be there in heaven. And it just helps us to understand the same way that we can see each other now because we're in our presence. Someday we'll be able to see God because we'll be in His presence. Helps us to understand that. Seeing equals being in the presence of. Next truth I have down is that seeing equals perception. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6:17. Let's start reading in verse 15. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. Elisha was there, and the king of Syria wanted to capture him and was having a difficult time finding him. And so finally they located where he was at and sent a whole host of horses and chariots. In verse 14, a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of God, Elisha. It's just amazing how, our sight plays such an important part of those things. But in a spiritual sense, Elisha's servant was there and was seeing the physical, the natural physical things around him, and it was cause for great concern. It really was. They were surrounded. They didn't have a chance, physically speaking. But when he could see into the spiritual powers, when he could understand, comprehend, see the spiritual side of it, there wasn't anything to worry about at all. And so many times that's what we need, is to be able to see the spiritual, see God and see what He's doing for us, and it makes the natural things that we see with our eyes around us look a whole lot different. Just totally changes what they mean to us. Hebrews 11:27, talking about Moses, it says, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses was in Egypt, the wrath of the king was upon him, and he could have been alarmed, and in some ways but it says that he's known as he endured seeing him who was invisible. Now he didn't physically see him, but he understood. He had a perception. He thought and understood and had faith in God. And as in that sense, he saw God. And that affected how he could handle the situation that he was in. It gave him strength gave him the faith that he needed to continue on and to be faithful as he should. Made a difference what he was seeing, what he was looking at, and what he perceived, what he understood. When he could see the spiritual like that, made such a difference. 1 Corinthians 13:12, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Again, an illustration to help us understand what it'll be like when we get to heaven. Now we can just see God through a glass darkly. Just faintly we can see some parts of it. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be there and we're going to see Him face to face. Then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know. It will be truly glorious to be there and to be able to see Christ face to face. The sixth thing I've down, because our eyes are such an influential way for us to collect information, they must be guarded closely. We have to guard our eyes so closely because they are such a direct influence into us. Let's turn first of all to Genesis 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. And here again, you kind of let your mind run a little bit. If Eve would have been blind, would have this happened? How probably Satan would have had another way of trying to tempt. And yet, the method, the avenue of sight is just such an important thing, and it's used so effectively. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. Not that their physical vision changed, but all of a sudden their understanding changed. Their knowledge, their what they could see and understand. And they learned a lot of things that they didn't want to know. But our eyes are so powerful, and we need to guard them carefully. It seems like Eve saw that tree and saw that fruit, and the visual appeal, that was a big part of what attracted her to it and made it so irresistible to her. We could think of Lot. Turn back a couple pages to Genesis 13, verse 10. Notice again the way vision played a big part of it. Genesis 13, verse 10. Abraham was giving Lot the choice of land and asking him which part he wanted to go into. Verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the Garden of Eden. A garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Started with Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was so beautiful, so lush, so inviting, so nice. And he chose that. He allowed that to affect his choice against some other criteria that he should have been looking at, he should have been considering. But that visual appeal pulled him that way. We could think of Achan. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. Speaking of covetousness and you know, desire for things, and yet sight, it was when he saw them that it grabbed a hold of him and he couldn't shake it off. Jesus, when he was facing temptation of the devil, Matthew 4:8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The devil took Jesus up there and showed him all those things. Jesus was faithful in not allowing that visual image and that visual impression to sway his better knowledge, sway his judgment. But so many of these things come in through our eye gate, through what we see. That the Bible has some direction for us. We could look at, well, Proverbs 4:25, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. how much different would it be for you this week if you would guard your eyes very carefully and not allow temptations to come through to you through your eyes? We can't really do that. And yet we can guard our eyes, and there's a way that we can be careful with them, what we look at. But challenge is just to be careful with what we allow to come in through our eyes, because so many people and so many times it's been the downfall of people because they allowed those pleasant things to come in to come into their sight, and they allow it to affect their decisions, allow it to override their better judgment. Can we guard our eyes the way we should? Next point I have down will be the misuse of the eyes, closely associated with the last one. But two verses I want to point out there. The first one is Psalm 119:37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Turn my eyes away from vanity, the superficially false, pleasant things that don't really have lasting meaning, lasting value. Turn my eyes away from those things and show me, quicken thou me in thy way. Help me to see things for what they really are and for the meaning and truth that they really have. We want to do that in a material way. We want to be able to see past superficial problems. But in a spiritual sense, we want to be able to look at things and see things for what they really are spiritually. Turn my eyes away from beholding vanity. Now turn to Isaiah 33:15. Isaiah 33:15. This is talking about a righteous man. This is a number of characteristics or a number of things that a righteous man actually does. At least in a maybe not in a totally literal sense, and yet this is a characteristic of a righteous man. Isaiah 33:15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he guards his lips. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. One of the marks of a righteous man is that he's careful with what he allows his eyes to see. And he doesn't, if there's evil around him, he doesn't spend his time looking at it. He doesn't dwell on that. He turns his eyes away, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. It's one of the marks of someone who is following God. Our eyesight is such a wonderful thing, but can we control it and guard it, or will that blessing from God be our downfall the way it's been for many people? For a final verse, let's turn to Psalm 139:12. Psalm 139:12. Just a reminder that the idea of light and dark and seeing and not seeing helps us understand so many things. It makes such a difference to us. But to God it is a little bit different. The physical light and darkness doesn't affect him. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Many times we're tempted to think that God won't see us and we can get away with things, but he doesn't suffer from those limitations that we do in relation to light and darkness. And he can always see us He always does see us and watch us, watch what we do and how we, he's watching how we guard our eyes and how what we look at and how we use the sight that we have. May God help us to walk in the light the way we should. Let's bow for prayer.